Are you an early bird or a night owl? I have always been a morning person. I like to front load my day, get my important work done early, and build momentum while my energy is high. And the trade-off, of course, is that by about 8 p.m., I'm functionally useless. But not everyone works that way. Some people I know come alive later in the day. That's when they're most sharp and creative, when I'm winding down. And a lot of this comes down to your circadian rhythm, that internal body clock you've probably heard about, that can influence when you feel awake and focused and productive. But most workplaces aren't designed with that in mind. Whether it's the 9 a.m. meeting that feels painfully early or the 4 p.m. session when your energy is dipped, we often expect everyone to perform at the same level at the same time. So the question is it possible to redesign work in a way that actually aligns with when people do their best thinking? I'm about to get into it with Lisa Leong, host of This Working Life, but I do want to hear from you as well. When do you feel at your best during the day? Would you prefer to work into the night when the rest of your colleagues have finished up? Have you been able to adjust your work to this? But Lisa is here with me. She started joining me fortnightly to help you unpack how to make your work life better. I'm calling our chats Work in Progress. Lisa, I've got to know, are you an early bird or a night owl?
Tegan, I woke up at 4 a.m. this morning. That is my usual wake up. It's anywhere between 4 a.m. and 5 a.m. So what does that make me? Extreme lark or
very
dangerous lark.
Dangerous lark. It sounds like an art installation.
Pretty much is.
Dangerous lark. So you're an even earlier bird than me. Have you always been like that throughout your life?
Yeah, I think I've been pretty much an extreme lark. And so it's been sometimes really hard in the workplace. One of my gigs was late night Australian music show, and I just wasn't really all there, to be honest. It wasn't the shift for me. I'm much better brekkie radio, morning radio, like your good self. So, you know, and I was a struggle, and I never got used to it.
I'm interested in talking about quality and quantity here as well. Do you think you're getting your best work done in the morning? Here I am, an early bird, fumbling it in the morning. Do you feel like you get your best work done in the morning, or that you can just get more done at that time of day?
I think it's both, actually. And when I look at it, it's that idea of we have different types of work that we need to do. So that idea of deep work, where you want to be uninterrupted and really maximise our brains, that is the best for morning types to do in the morning. I drop off, you said 8 p.m. for yourself. I drop off at about 12 p.m. I'm a pumpkin so early in the day. So I actually don't schedule difficult things later. But that includes talking to other people, because when we're talking about peaks and troughs of our circadian rhythms or chronotypes, it's not just the work that we do, but actually how do we interact with people? Maybe we're slightly more irritable, you and I, in the afternoons. Maybe that's not a good time to do a performance review, for example.
You don't know me. You don't know what I'm like. Okay, so circadian rhythms, chronotypes, it's an area that there is a fair amount of pseudoscience around. I've actually covered this on my other podcast, What's That Rash, before. You can go and find that on ABC Listen, seamless plug there. But tell me a little bit about what we do know about it, Lisa.
So, I mean, there's two concepts that we've been talking about here. So it's the circadian rhythm, which you said is like a 24-hour internal body clock. It very often, you can't really adjust this. So it's not like you can change your circadian rhythms. And it's when we feel most alert and when we feel sleepy. This actually does change in terms of our life stages as well. So we do find that teenagers do tend to, as we know, stay up a little bit later. And as you get older, it just slightly adjusts so that you will just get up that little bit earlier. So that's the circadian rhythm. Chronotypes is just really interesting. It's about, I mean, people have categorised things as to where our peaks are and where our troughs are. And this category have been used, I guess, to help us with a shorthand so that we can try and understand each other. And as I mentioned, if we can keep this in mind when it comes to our work, it means that we can schedule things so that we're all operating at our best. I have been partnered with so many producers who are the opposite to me, so really extreme night owls. And so it's been really interesting to find that common ground where we can work together and we're both actually operating. And also we can do really fun things like handovers. So I can work really hard on something like an edit, and then I can hand over to my night owl producer, who then takes it when I've, you know, turned into a pumpkin after 12 o'clock.
So you've been talking about this on This Working Life. What kinds of workplaces are adapting to this? What kind of changes are they making?
Well, normal workplaces, I call one size fits no one. Mm. So it's this one thing that we all have to do. And as we've learnt over time, hyper-personalisation, which we learnt through COVID, is actually more effective than forcing people into a box. So one of the boxes that we have fit into, or not actually, is the 9 a.m. meeting that you've been talking about. Very often on a Monday morning, 9 a.m, hey, why don't we get together as a team? And for most people, that's a tough ask, actually, and we are not at our most productive. So with that in mind, what workplaces have been doing is called circadian-informed leadership. This is when you actually look at your team and you ask people, well, what type of circadian rhythm do you go to? What is your chronotype? And we try and work around it, like I did with my producer, saying, well, I don't want you to come in when I come in, because I'm in at 7 a.m. If I forced her to come in at 7 a.m, it wouldn't be pretty, let's face it, right? So we just decided that, you know, I'll come in first, I'll do some of this work, and then, you know, you come in when you come in. So it's not, like, I guess one of the pushbacks is, oh my gosh, you know, as a leader, are you asking me to, like, change things for every single person? But it's not about that. It's like just being a bit compassionate, actually, about when are we going to get the best out of people. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. You are listening to Life Matters on ABC Radio National. I'm Tegan Taylor with Lisa Leong of This Working Life fame. She joins me fortnightly for Work in Progress. We're talking about circadian rhythms, chronotypes, basically whether you're a night owl or a morning lark, and how that impacts your work. Kim says, I was an owl, working till late on creative stuff. Then children came along and I couldn't get away to exercise in the evening, so I started getting up at 4:30 a.m. to exercise and be home by 7 to help with levering kids out of bed. Now I wake up at around 5 a.m. and in bed at 8:30 if things going well, but still 4 till 6 p.m. is my golden time for working. Another says, don't forget doctors and nurses that do afternoon shifts and then start again for an early shift, not to mention nights thrown in, not the most productive. Lisa, what I'm hearing from both of those is that sometimes you don't get to choose what your work dictates.
Oh, this is all, like, most of the time, Tegan. And even adult education, it's usually in the night because people work during the day. And for people who are early birds, it's the worst time to learn. I mean, 7 p.m. at night. So there are so many structures, and even school starting so early, really, for, as we mentioned, school-aged children who need more sleep and they go to sleep later when they get older, so year 11 and 12. So none of this is suited towards everyone. So I think it's just looking at that and just understanding and maybe trying to be a little bit kinder into what you've put your hand up for. And then also knowing, okay, this is a bit of a patch and maybe I don't want to do this forever. If I'm the type of person who, you know, really is an early bird, then, you know, after a while, I'm not going to put my hand up for the night shifts, like whether it be the night show on radio. You know, I think at the beginning of your career, sometimes, yes, you do have to do things which are not in accordance with your circadian rhythms. But to know that and to know, look, I'm actually not going to be at my best. So, I mean, even question, is this something that I want to put my hand up to when I will be struggling, actually?
How much responsibility do workplaces have to accommodate this?
Look, I think that it's not so much a responsibility, but it is good management and good leadership. And I think with all workplaces, everyone benefits when you are playing to people's strengths. And this is just another factor to take into consideration. So when will our workers, our people, actually be at their best? And you can just plough on through and not take this into account, but then you aren't going to be getting the best out of that person because you're going to wonder why they're maybe a little bit irritable if they are a night owl and you force them to do these 8:30 meetings. You're not going to get the best ideas. You're probably not going to get their best selves, and you might blame them for being lazy, but that's just not fair. So I think with all things, I think it is best practice to take it into account. Of course, you still need to run a business. So it's not about, okay, so let every, you know, whim and fancy, we're going to take that into account. But I certainly think it's good leadership, Tegan. So I'm hoping it's just another factor to take into account.
Thank you so much, Lisa. Lisa Leong hosts This Working Life here on ABC Radio National, exploring the latest in the world of work. You can find all of the episodes of This Working Life on ABC Listen or wherever you get your podcasts.
Getting in touch with ABC RN is easy. Join the conversation live using the ABC Listen app's call and text features.